And good afternoon. Today is Tuesday, the 2nd of January, 2018. That's just a few seconds after the hour. I'm Ben Brown. This is a Juneau Afternoon. Today we're going to talk to some folks from the Juneau Pride Chorus and learn what's up. Andy Hirsch and Robert Barr here from the Juneau Public Libraries to highlight an exciting traveling exhibit here in Juneau. And we're going to learn a little more about Tai Chi for seniors. And Rachel Hutzelaar will be here to talk about the upcoming exhibit at the Juneau Arts and Culture Center Gallery. It's raining a little bit right now, and the forecast is for rain tonight and tomorrow, 100% chance of precipitation. So stay tuned for a Juneau Afternoon following National Native News.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. Legislation championed by a U.S. Oregon congressman has passed the House and Senate. If enacted, it's set to benefit three tribes. KLCC's Brian Bull reports.
The Western Oregon Tribal Fairness Act cedes more than 17,000 acres of federal land to the Cow Creek Band of Umpqua Indians. Another 14,000 acres goes to the confederated tribes of Coos, Lower Umpqua, and Siuslaw Indians. It gives both tribes a land base since they regained federal recognition in the 1980s. As for the Coquille tribe, the act restores governance of their tribal forest, effectively decoupling them from federal land management rules. Mark Johnston is executive director of the Coquille tribe. He says they've managed their 5,400-acre forest efficiently, despite the unique legal burden put on them in 1996.
And for the Coquille, we've been certified by Forest Stewardship Council, FSC, for a number of years. And you'll take a look at our land, and we truly believe in a balance between conservation and sustainable harvest.
The bill now heads to President Trump's desk. Tribal officials hope he'll sign off on it. For National Native News, I'm Brian Bull.
Dozens of cold weather records were tied or broken over much of the plains over the weekend. All of South Dakota's reservations are being impacted by cold air temperatures and dangerous wind chill. South Dakota Public Broadcasting's Gary Ellenbolt has more.
At least a half dozen tribal schools in South Dakota closed for the day because of the dangerous cold. One school, Teospates Hopa, in north-central South Dakota, stayed closed because of heating issues in the building. Matthew Dukes with the National Weather Service in Sioux Falls says there's a bit of a warming trend coming, but it's pretty short-lived.
The main brunt of the cold weather actually came through the area over this weekend. Now as we move through the rest of this week and into next weekend, this is just kind of a glancing blow of a little bit of cold air that's left up to our north. It won't nearly be as cold as what we saw here over the New Year's holiday weekend. Temperatures from Tuesday through Friday will only average into the single digits over the eastern half of the state to perhaps even the teens and some 20s over the western half of the state through Friday.
Aberdeen in northeast South Dakota broke a 99-year-old record low on New Year's Day with a reading of 32 degrees below zero. Wind chills bottomed out at minus 50 in some locations. For National Native News, I'm Gary Ellen Bolt.
A weather emergency has been issued by the Blackfeet Nation in Montana. On Monday night, the tribe activated its emergency plan for winter storms due to a blizzard. The National Weather Service has issued a blizzard warning. An incident command center has been set up at tribal headquarters in Browning. Tribal offices are closed and residents are asked to seek shelter and only travel for emergencies. The Mashpee Wampanoag tribe has laid off some employees, the Cape Cod Times reports. A letter to workers cites reasons as funding and litigation involving the tribe's effort to build a casino. The Massachusetts tribe received federal recognition status in 2007 and has since beefed up efforts to build a resort casino in the city of Taunton. The tribe is reportedly in hundreds of millions of dollars in debt. The layoffs were recently issued with official termination on January 12th. Tribal leaders have long maintained the casino would provide jobs and boost the economy. A Superior Court judge rejected part of the Skaticook Nation's lawsuit seeking millions of dollars from Connecticut for land the tribe claims was taken more than 200 years ago. The Hartford Current reports last week's decision included two documents from the 1700s which show use and not ownership. Other parts of the lawsuit remain, including mortgage claims. The tribe is seeking more than $600 million for 2,000 acres it says the state took without compensation. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios by Kwanic Broadcast Corporation. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, with support from the Public Radio Satellite Service.
Support by Canyon Records, producer of Native American music, including R. Carlos Nakai's million-selling Canyon Trilogy. All Canyon titles available from iTunes, Amazon, Google Play, and CanyonRecords.com. Support from AmeriCorps Vista, whose members fight against poverty while earning money for college and gaining skills, with rewarding service opportunities around the country and info at AmeriCorps.gov/Vista.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.
And it's about 6 minutes after the hour, and you are listening to A Juneau Afternoon. I'm Ben Brown. Today is Tuesday, the second day of January, 2018. And with me are Robert Barr and Andy Hirsch from the Juneau Public Libraries. Welcome to the first installment of A Juneau Afternoon in the new year.
Well, thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Indeed. And there's a ton of great things, as always, going on at Juneau's Public Libraries.
There are.
So without any further ado, Robert, go ahead and tell us some of the good things we can look forward to in the new year.
Well, so we just got a new electronic database that some folks might be interested in. So if you are an investor, or if you have investments in like stocks or mutual funds or ETFs, which I think stands for exchange-traded funds, we have always subscribed to an investment survey called ValueLine. And so ValueLine is a company that reviews stocks and funds and ETFs, among other things. And there are over, I think, 1,500 different reviews that they have in that product. And we've always had it in print, but we're doing away with the print version of it, and now we have an electronic version of it that has a lot more features associated with it. And
it updates much faster.
And it updates much faster,
which is important with stocks.
It is. You want it to be timely,
like,
right?
Last week's news really may not help me in tomorrow's market.
It may not. Yeah. And so one of the cool things about ValueLine is that they actually rank each stock and each mutual fund that they review on a number of different scales and make recommendations associated with them. So, like in a lot of investment databases, as I understand it, you just kind of get a bunch of information. But ValueLine kind of takes it a step further, and you get the information and you get like the recommendations from professionals.
And that's a buy, a sell, a hold?
Yeah, basically. And it's the ranking systems, they have these different scales. So they have like a financial strength scale and a safety scale. And I think safety refers to things like, you know, is there a lot of volatility, you know, in this particular stock? And there's a technical scale, which refers to how the company is run. And there's a timeliness scale. So timeliness for them, when they rank high on that, it means that they think that particular stock or that fund is going to outperform the market.
Mm-hmm.
As it is right now.
How would listeners go about accessing the new ValueLine electronically? Is that a remotely accessible thing? So they can do it from home,
they can
come into one of the branches?
That's right. Yep. So if you want to do it from home, you just go to our website, which is juneau.org/library, and go to research and then click on all and scroll down. And it's the bottom of the page. It's actually featured on our homepage right now, too. And just find ValueLine under the V's. And click on it, it'll ask you for your library card number. So you got to have that. But as long as you got your library card number, you are good to go.
That's really kind of cool. So
yeah.
That'll be fun to look at, and people can learn more and make more money making wiser investments in the new year.
That's the idea.
Good. Andy, what else is going on at our libraries?
Well, we have a lot of different events going on also. And so starting next week, Story Time and Toddler Time is back.
Excellent.
So Toddler Time is on Monday. It's 10 a.m. at the Downtown Library and 11 a.m. out in the Valley. And these are songs and stories and movement to get your kids interested in moving and stories and having a good time. Later in the week, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday are our story times, and those are at 11 a.m. downtown on Wednesday, Douglas on Thursday, and at the Valley Library on Friday. And what we say is bring your kids to whichever one you're able to attend. The difference is we do slightly longer stories at story time, and we do a little more wiggling at toddler time.
There's no bright line between, you know, wiggling and stories.
That's a good
way to describe exactly.
It.
I certainly don't sit still pretty much ever.
Right, right. Excellent. So wiggling and stories, both the main branches, the downtown and the valley branches.
That one's the toddler time, and that's on Mondays.
Okay.
And then Wednesdays at 11 is the downtown library story time. Thursdays at 11 is Douglas.
Oh, Douglas.
And Fridays at 11 is the valley.
Very good. And in addition to story time and value line, wait, there's more?
Oh, of course. There's always more.
If you are interested in stories for adults, we are actually doing a book club, and that is going to be in the beginning of February. It's going to be Tuesday, February 6th at the Valley Library. Starts at 6 o'clock. And the book we're reading is called People of the Book. And it is about this woman named Hannah Heath, and she is a rare books conservator. So she preserves and repairs old manuscripts. And there is a famous manuscript called the Sarajevo Haggadah that comes to light. And so she's called in. And so it's this historical text all about how the book was made and whose hands it has been in. And at the same time, the present day of the book takes place in the 1990s in Sarajevo. So there's a lot of different elements to the book. And we are actually going to be joined in our book discussion by Jody DeBryan, and she is our conservator at the City Museum. So she is going to be available to talk to people about how do we conserve things in Juneau. We have a slightly different atmosphere, and we have different objects to conserve. So how do we decide what what we are going to conserve.
Well, things have to be prioritized. There are not unlimited resources.
That's true.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for helping me with my mouth. So how do we decide what gets conserved? How do we do it? How do we use science? And what science do we use to help us preserve history for the future? So I think it's going to be a really, really interesting talk.
Now, this is a book club. Is it just going to meet the one time?
It is.
Okay.
The one time for this book. And then in March, we'll be doing a different book with a different guest on a different theme.
And say again, please, when the book club is for people who think, oh my goodness, I'm going to have to read this entire book between now and then, which is the way it always is with book clubs.
You have more than a month.
Oh,
it's
you see
going
that?
To be,
awesome.
It's going to be Tuesday, February 6th. And so we have 10, 15 copies at the various libraries, so you can call us and we'll put it on hold for you, or you can come in and grab a copy.
And then hopefully read it in 2 weeks so somebody else can read it before the book club meets.
We
yeah.
hope so.
And chances are good we have copies online, too.
Yes, we also have them digitally.
Yeah, which is a great segue into, you know, the new year is a time when, or actually the holiday season that we just finished is a time when lots of people get new electronic devices.
Yes, they do.
Kindles and tablets and phones and whatnot, and you can read and listen to books on those devices, and we have books and downloadable audiobooks that you can get at the library. So if you got one of those new devices and you're wondering about that, stop by and ask, and we'll help you get connected, or you can just go to our website and try to figure it out yourself. It's actually a lot easier than it used to be in the past. Again, juneau.org/library, and just click on the ebooks.
Because I think sometimes people get new devices and then they sit there, you know, in their stack of loot that they got for Christmas, and they never get them up and running.
Yeah.
So to have the expertise of a librarian to help you download some readables, that sounds like a really great way to start off the new year.
And we'll help you out.
Brilliant. All right, and then I know there's one other event I mentioned when I was introducing the show today, but it's a little premature because it's not going to begin until the 10th, but we're going to talk about it a little bit anyway.
We're so excited.
We are.
Go for it.
Okay, so the Juneau Public Libraries will be hosting a traveling exhibit called Discover Tech, Engineers Make a World of Difference, and it is 800 square feet. It's going to be housed at the Mendenhall Valley Public Library, and it's going to be all throughout the library, because we don't have 800 square feet just sitting around. And it's really neat. It is this interactive exhibit that showcases how engineering and science and technology and math, how these are important to our society and how where we're going and what we're doing with it and the changes in the world that have already happened because of it. And so the thing I really love is how many parts of this exhibit are hands-on interactive. So there is, for instance, there's a circuit building station. So you can go and you can make fans spin and lights turn on and you can figure out how do circuits work, like how do I get electricity from here to there. There's also an arch building exhibit. And it's all about, like, how do different structures work? How do I get this to stand up? What forces affect building and architecture?
And this national tour is sponsored by the Space Science Institute's National Center for Interactive Learning. And it says in partnership with the American Library Association's Public Programs Office. How did Juno manage to snag one of these coveted eight spots?
Well, we have some excellent grant writers.
That's basically
what it comes down to. Andy's one of them.
So it was actually back in 2015, 2014?
I think it was 2015.
We saw that this grant opportunity exists, so we went out and we talked to a lot of different people in the community, and we actually got, 15 or 16 letters of support from various groups throughout the community talking about how important STEM education, science, technology, engineering, and math education is to everybody, not just children, but children, teens, adults, and how an opportunity for a beautiful, amazing, interactive exhibit, it doesn't come to Juno very often. We have to, if you want something like this, you have to travel down to Seattle.
Or Anchorage. The Anchorage Museum does pretty well.
Beautiful exhibit.
But again, it's just usually because of the scale of these things. And then can the State Museum afford to dedicate its scarce space for something like this?
Mm-hmm.
So it's really wonderful that the library stepped forward, because it's just something that probably wouldn't have happened at another venue, it sounds like.
Mm-hmm.
Well, congratulations to you both on that. And it's going to be here all the way through April, so people will have a lot of time to go out and interact with it repeatedly if they so wish.
Yes, and I have a bunch of people to thank, so I'm going to thank them on the air if
thank
that's all right
now.
With
Please
you.
Thank away.
Thank you. So we received both letters of support, people who want to partner with us to help do programs for kids and adults, people who donated money to help fund the exhibit. And so a big thank you goes out to the Friends of the Juno Public Library, the Juno School District, the Juno Community Foundation, the Alaska Society of Civil Engineers, the University of Alaska Southeast, the Juno Economic and Development Council, the Juno STEM Coalition, the Alaska Department of Transportation and Public Facilities, the Avista Foundation, the Alaska Airlines Community Advisory Board, and Eric Antrim. So all of these different people provided expertise, money, time, effort to help us with this exhibit.
People may be so excited about this, they want to learn more about it before it opens on the 10th. Is there anything online through the library's website? And you may not have put them up yet, but or through the sponsoring organization that I mentioned before, the Space Science Institute. Because if it is something that's traveling, there might be a guide out there.
There is a Discover Tech website out there. So if you just Google Discover Tech, Engineers Make a World of Difference, you can find the website that the ALA Public Programming Office put out there.
Excellent.
And there's some information there.
Good. And that way people can even know, be excited about it ahead of time, know what they're going to be enjoying when they get to go and see it.
Yeah.
Excellent. Well, how very exciting. And Andy, I'm sure you will share more information about this exhibit as its opening day approaches.
Yes, I will.
Excellent. Well, Robert Barr, Andy Hirsch, anything else you'd like to share with our New Year listeners on a Juno afternoon?
Well, so like Ben said, on the 10th, the exhibit will be open, but we're actually going to be doing an opening reception on January 13th. That's a Saturday. It's going to start at 2, and there will be Lego building challenges and all sorts of things for people to do and see the exhibit.
Well, Discover Tech, and use all the other wonderful resources that are available to you through Juno's public libraries. It really is a portal to a limitless world of information.
It is. Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you. Yeah,
thank you. Happy New Year to
you're
you.
You're so articulate.
You too.
And that was Lawrence Blatt, Noches de Barcelona, on his guitar album Longitudes and Latitudes. Now I am pleased to welcome Larae Jones and Kathleen Wayne from the Juno Pride Chorus to a Juno Afternoon. Welcome, ladies, this first
Thank
show
you.
Of the new year.
Thank you. Happy New Year.
I'm having a good one. Are you having a good one so far?
Yes.
Yeah.
We actually started our New Year celebrations a couple of days ago when we sang at the Year of Kindness.
Yes.
Celebrations. So we're starting our Pride Chorus activities a little early. So.
And a couple of days ago, when the Year of Kindness wrapped up, it was still really, really cold out.
Yes, it was.
So that wasn't just some easy concert to do.
No.
I imagine there was a lot of warming going on.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, now that we've returned to more stereotype reinforcing Juno weather, mm-hmm. and people are looking for fun things to do in the new year, what opportunities does the Juno Pride Chorus have to offer them?
Well, rehearsals are starting next Tuesday, which is January the 9th. And we are looking for new members. Over the years, when we were first founded in 1997, a lot of people have now left. And we are looking for new members. So if you like to sing, you don't have to have a solo voice. Believe me, I don't have a solo voice.
Oh, you actually do.
But,
you have a very nice voice.
We'd just love to have you come sing.
Excellent. Now, yeah, because as you said, I mean, obviously with the passage of time, people move on, things happen. Is there an ideal number of people that you would like to have a fully stocked chorus?
Oh, I think it would be wonderful if we had around 30.
Ooh, 30 would be perfect.
Would be wonderful.
Yeah.
Right now we're sitting at about half that number, I think. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, we had about 15 at the Year of Kindness.
Yeah.
So
there's some room for growth.
There's a lot of room for growth, and we are just thrilled to have a new director. You know, Leslie Wood retired last year from directing as her kids got a little older and needed to be more involved that way.
Kathleen is here.
Kathleen is here. And we are thrilled to have her. So,
and it, you know, the universe sometimes just brings you those gifts. And I was looking for something to do, a new venue in music. I've been performing for years, and I'm kind of getting old playing the ingenue and the, you know, the young thing. I thought, I really need to find another place. But I really wanted something where that had an element of meaning to it. It's beautiful to do an aria and then leave and say, you know, that was nice. But with serving with a Pride Chorus and serving a message of social justice and support of bisexual people and gay and transgender and lesbians, I really wanted something, an organization like that to support and rally behind, but to do through music, because I know music.
You do know music very well. I remember seeing you in Carmen, and it was one of the best things
Nobody
I've ever seen.
Said that. No, I 20 years ago.
I really do. I was hosting a Thursday night concerts. The station was back over where Rainbow Foods is, and I remember Dan loaned me a disc so I could play it on the air. And I returned that disc, by the way.
Okay.
You're missing a copy of Carmen. I don't have it. But no, so you've obviously given so much to this community musically, yeah. Kathleen, yeah. for so many years. But I think as long as you're not leaving the stage, and this is just an additional activity, we can all be happy about it.
Yeah. Yes. Very excited.
And we are thrilled to have her. So the Pride Chorus, of course, is sponsored by PFLAG, which is Parents, Friends,
Families of Lesbians and Gays.
Thank you. And it's such a wonderful, supportive group. I have been singing with them for 5 years now. And but prior to that, every time we would go to a concert, I'd say, you know, if I ever have enough time, I'm going to join that chorus. So,
well, I bet a lot of other people listening right now have had that thought, and now they are on notice that you need more members.
We do need to.
So how can they go about seeing if it's right for them? Because, I mean, the first concert's not for a while, so there's not this quick turnaround time for rehearsals or anything.
Our first concert, we believe, is going to be April 28th.
No pressure.
So there's no pressure, but our first rehearsal is next Tuesday the 9th. And just show up, and we start rehearsals at 5:30 in the evening at Resurrection Lutheran Church, just down
a few blocks from here downtown.
Yeah,
over near the
near the Federal Building.
Near the Federal Building, and of course the parking can be a little challenging there, so you may want to build a little time for that. But it's not that bad.
It clears up about 5 o'clock, and there's lots of street parking. Yeah. So
and then rehearsals are pretty much weekly.
Yes.
Through the first concert. Mm-hmm. And now if someone doesn't know if she's a soprano or an alto, is that a problem?
No. Nope.
Doesn't matter. What I understand, we do have rehearsal tapes that the usually the Pride Chorus provides rehearsal tapes or support
DVDs or not DVDs,
CDs.
So that you can practice your part. We usually have them recorded of all four parts and then one of all four parts being played together.
Mm-hmm.
So
you just plug that into your headphones and just listen to it and
learn your part.
Learn by repetition. Yep.
Yeah.
Excellent.
So like Lorraine said, you're not expected to come and being able to do solo work or, you know, be a top-notch musician. We want the people who want to be there, who believe in the message, who believe in the message that we're trying to give of peace and love mm-hmm. and acceptance and unity. And we can teach them to sing.
There you go. It's more about loving your fellow human, and the singing part will follow.
Yes.
Excellent. And so you're probably still in the process of figuring out what the program is going to be, or you may have decided.
We have some ideas, but I think we want to have the chorus go through them, see what they sound like, see if they agree that this would make a good concert. So
yeah, we often don't come up with the final set up for the concert until 4 weeks before.
Right.
So
and there's things that they'll have rehearsed and at the get-togethers
exactly.
that they're not going to perform, but just as an exercise, as a practice,
right.
as a development tool
right.
for the
yeah.
vocal work and listening to other and
yeah.
all that
right.
sort of thing.
And we're still kind of teasing out a theme. This is our 21st year, so we are of age. So that's been a theme that's been floating around, but also just the need for the message of unity and acceptance that is so needed right now in our world, that we thought, a lot of songs, when we started to pick songs, that message just kept coming through. So
right. Well, fortunately, there are a lot of beautiful musical pieces out there that address just those things you're concerned about, Kathleen, the lack of positiveness and things like that. So
yeah.
I have no doubt that you will, over the coming months, come up with the ideal
yeah.
roster of songs.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it'll be a beautiful concert.
It will be.
And it'll be at the Jack. Is that correct? Oh. Where is the concert going to be?
I think it'll be at Northern Light.
Northern Light, okay.
All right. Well, it'll be at one of the two.
Yes.
Yeah. Excellent. Is there a Facebook page or any other online presence, a social media presence for the Pride Chorus if people want to connect that way?
We do have a Facebook page. You put me on the spot. I can't remember.
Just Google Juno Pride Chorus.
I'm sure it'll come up.
We're searching Facebook
yeah.
for that. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Excellent. Well, Kathleen Wayne, Lorraine Jones, thank you so much. Anything
Thanks.
Else you want to share with our listeners?
Well, no. If anybody wants to talk about it before just showing up, they're welcome to call me. My cell phone is 321-6882. So, and I'll be happy to talk you into coming.
Very good. All right. Thank you very much, ladies.
Thanks so much.
Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year.
Thanks, Ben.
This is Bird Note. Whether mountain chickadees in the Rockies, black caps in New England, or chestnut backs in the Northwest, chickadees are always worth watching at your feeder. If you've laid out a fine feast of sunflower seeds, you'll see them come in, quickly grab a seed, and fly away. If you watch carefully, you'll see one land nearby, open the seed, and eat the juicy and nutritious kernel within. Now, keep watching that chickadee. It may return immediately, but it's more likely to wait its turn. When a whole flock of chickadees moves into your yard, it looks as if they form a living conveyor belt. One chickadee after another flies to the feeder and then leaves with the seed. When they find a concentrated supply of food, such as a tray of sunflower seeds, the birds are better off taking their turns than all coming in at once and squabbling over the seeds. Nature seems to prefer order to chaos. And we have much to learn from the chickadees. For Bird Note, I'm Mary McCann. Support for Bird Note comes from Bloomsbury, announcing the new book Winter Birds, with paintings by artist and ornithologist Lars Johnson, available wherever books are sold.
It's about 33 and a half minutes after the hour. I'm Ben Brown. Today's Tuesday, the 2nd of January. Happy New Year, and Happy New Year, and welcome to Eileen Hosey. How are you today?
Thank you. I'm doing well.
Excellent.
Yes.
And we're going to learn a little from you about Tai Chi for seniors.
That is correct. Southeast Senior Services has a grant from the state of Alaska to provide periodic free classes of Tai Chi for seniors age 60 and over. Our next class starts next Tuesday, January the 9th. It's going to run for 8 weeks, Tuesdays and Thursdays, from 10:30 to 11:30. It's going to be held at the Greening Park Community Building across the street from the old Walmart building. Easy to find, a one-story blue building.
Right. And is this for beginners, people who've never done any Tai Chi?
That's correct. It's for beginners. You will start off. We have a certified instructor, Mr. Glenn Ray, and you'll start out each session learning a couple of movements, and they build on each other. And by the end of the 8 weeks, you will be proficient, and you will have better balance. That's one of the most important things that it's Tai Chi for arthritis. It's also for improved balance and reduced risk of falls. The statistics are daunting about seniors and falls. The most important one is that the most profound effect of falling is the loss of function associated with independent living. And that is a crucial thing. Our goal is to help seniors live at home safely and independently as long as possible. So,
absolutely. And it's not just a seasonal thing. I'm sure some listeners are thinking going from the really cold weather to the rain, you know, that's where you get the scary invisible ice buildup.
Right.
But even in the middle of summer,
right,
you got to be careful that the more fragile your body is.
Yep.
We're all fragile, but the more fragile it is, you got to be careful so you don't fall. And because they're unnecessary injuries.
That is correct. For instance, between the age of 65 and 69, one out of every 200 falls results in a hip fracture. And 25% of seniors who fracture a hip will die within 6 months of the injury. That is a very, those are bad odds.
Yes.
One out of four, that's not good. So the risk of falling does increase with age. More women fall than men, but men have more serious injuries when they fall because they're climbing ladders and doing all sorts of other things. But In addition to the very real benefits of helping your balance, you get greater awareness, tranquility, and an overall sense of well-being when you do Tai Chi. And we are living in a very stressful world, so anything we can do to enhance our feeling of well-being is helpful. You get improved strength, conditioning, coordination, and flexibility, and it does reduce the pain and stiffness arthritis.
Excellent. So yes. You mentioned the venue earlier,
yes.
But go ahead and before you share those details,
yes,
again, is there a finite number of spaces in the class?
Yes. We shoot for 20 participants. I have about 9 at this point with about 5 applications flooding their way to me. So the best way to get a hold of me is 2 ways. First of all, call me. 463-6113 between 8:30 and 3:30, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Or you can email me. Just say, please send me an application packet, and I'll give you my email address. It's Eileen, E-I-L-E-E-N, dot Hosey, H-O-S-E-Y, at ccsjuno.org.
Excellent.
Yeah.
And again, the dates and the venue for,
yep,
the Tai Chi.
Starts next Tuesday, January the 9th. It'll run Tuesdays and Thursdays for 8 weeks, 10:30 to 11:30 in the morning. It's going to be at the Greening Park Community Hall across the street and up about a half a block from the old Walmart building.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Anything else you'd like to share with our listeners, Eileen?
Many, many people who have taken the class sing its praises. And you've got to admit, something that's been around for 4,000 years has got to be a good deal.
Absolutely.
Right?
There's a reason people keep doing it.
That's correct.
Well, very good. Thank you so much, Eileen,
yeah,
Hosey, and best wishes for a very happy new year.
Likewise, same to you.
And a calm and peaceful one as well.
Absolutely.
All right.
Thank
Buttons
you very much.
Buttons are so overrated. News from here, across the nation, and around the world is yours. All you need to do is use your voice. Say, Alexa, play NPR, and listen away.
It's about 41 minutes after the hour. Today's Tuesday, the 2nd of January. I'm Ben Brown. This is a Juno Afternoon. And with me now are Mark Hieronymus and Rachel Hutzelar to talk about Symbiosis, which is the upcoming show at the Juno Arts and Culture Center Gallery. Welcome to a Juno Afternoon.
Well, thank you.
Thanks.
And we were
you
just
know how to say my last name?
Hutzelar.
Utzler. Very close. Very good.
Utzler.
You're there.
I'm sorry. I mean, I think I do and I don't. So I'm making a phonetic note. Rachel Utzler.
Very good.
As if I'd never mispronounced it. So Symbiosis, Mark, you had something to do with the idea for this show.
Yeah, I think I was kind of the instigator for this whole thing.
Most definitely the instigator. So this is a group of our friends that have been sitting around for years and years. We actually have known each other for a good 21 years or so, 25 now,
yeah.
Good God. And we used to all work at Northern Gita, and we'd all sit around doing fish. Now, I now work at the Jack. I've been doing a lot of artwork. Mark is he's a guide, fishing guide, and does a lot of photography. And we were just sitting around dinners for the last couple of years, and we were like, wait a minute. He's like, I would really like to have these photos inspire our friends to do artwork, because we do have some really great friends that do really great, fantastic artwork pieces. Mm. So we pretty much started roping things in, and then I was over, because since I do work at the Jack, I realized the deadline for gallery shows was happening, so we pulled something together, and lo and behold, we got a gallery show. So
right, and not everyone does. There are there are more requests for those show spots.
I was very surprised.
Right.
Really.
Back when I was on the JAHC board decades ago, even then it was very competitive for the little space in Franklin Street. But now it's a very nice space. It's not as nice as it's going to be in the new Jack,
of
but it's
course.
A larger space than it used to be downstairs in Franklin Street. And as listeners know, there's a lot of really great shows there. Descendants of...
Just came down.
So yep, if you missed that...
That was really great.
Yep.
Too bad. Sorry.
But the good news is this Friday we've got another one coming your way. So
yes.
These were photographic... some ideas based on photographs, but these are different
these are
media.
All photographs of Mark,
okay.
Actually. So yeah. Mark was the photographer throughout the whole show. So that's our string that runs through. And I can go ahead and let you describe some of the photos. And
they're really technical pictures. They were mostly taken with my phone and with cheap point-and-shoot cameras.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of, if there is a school of art that I subscribe to, I'd say it's the millionth monkey. You know, it's you give me a camera and turn me loose for 10 years, and I take a couple hundred thousand pictures, one or two of them are going to turn out good.
That's the beauty of digital photography is there's not reams and reams of chemicals and discarded photos that didn't work out.
And I know there's probably a bunch of photographers that are actually good at it, listening to this, just slamming their head against something, but I don't claim to be one of those guys. I think I'm a better editor and a better eye for the actual subject matter. I mean, fishing has been my living in one form or another for my entire working life, and I'd like to think I'm pretty familiar with them. So.
And that is definitely the subject matter that's going on, is fish. We have lots of dead fish and fish scales and all kind of close-ups and far away.
A lot of live fish. There's a lot of live fish.
And there's 15 total artists involved in this show.
Yes.
And so it's really a great group. Julie Crabtree, Katie Craney, Sean Fansler, Trevor Gong, Melissa Griffiths, Mark Hieronymus. Want to keep going?
Rachel Usler, myself, Kevin Mayer, Lorelei Miko, Jenna O'Fontanella, Heather Ridgway, Rob Royce, Christine Smalley, Melina Shields, and Leah Sturgis actually is sending us a piece from while she was on vacation.
Wow.
I actually had Katie Craney. She actually did her pieces on vacation also.
That's and dedication.
Hopefully we get them in the mail.
Gotta suffer for art.
The show is being installed as we speak.
Yep.
And it will open with First Friday this Friday.
This Friday. And that will be at 4:30. It's open to the public.
And some of the artists will be there, some won't.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. We have a few that are still on vacation and a couple out of town people, a couple from Haines. But most everyone is a local artist.
Excellent. And these pieces are, I'm going to presume, most, if not all of them, will be for sale.
I think so, yes.
So that's always good. Unless there's a dot on it, that means somebody beat you to it.
There you go. Yes. And then we will also have all the photographs for sale. You could even buy the two pieces together if you wish. We are also able to reproduce the photographs just because of the nature of the photograph. And they're all printed on metal, which I really do love.
So
that very much lends itself to the feeling of the fish.
But the individual art pieces are limited, but if there was a fighting match that broke out over one of the photos, that could be resolved by printing another one up.
Correct.
So yet another way to resolve conflict and hope for peace in the new year.
You got it.
Even though there's going to be wine, you know.
Nope, only at the very private reception.
Okay.
No wine at the Jack.
No wine at the Jack, so you're going to have to make your plans accordingly, which is luckily not that hard to do in downtown Juneau.
Yeah.
All right, well, Mark and Rachel, anything else you want to share with our listeners about Symbiosis opening this Friday at the Jack Gallery?
I think it's going to be interesting. This is kind of my foray into the gallery art world, and so far what I've seen makes me not want to do any more of it, just because it's kind of like the seeing how laws and
trying to rope together artists is kind of difficult. That was a little trick.
But having said that, I think it's going to be cool. I mean, from what I've seen of the other folks' artwork, it's amazing. So it's going to, I'm really humbled just to be standing in the same room with those folks. So.
Well, I spend a lot of time in that gallery.
Yes, you do now.
Kind of my home away from home
office.
We're
going to make it look real nice.
So I will tell you, I'm extra excited to come in tomorrow morning and just see how it's coming together, and I'll probably be in the way and be asked to leave. But for a brief moment, I'll be there getting a sneak peek ahead.
Sounds great.
All right. Well, Mark and Rachel, thank you very much, and we look forward
to
Symbiosis, and best wishes for a happy new year.
Thank you.
Hi, this is David Barsamian. Tune in for Alternative Radio every Thursday at 8 p.m. right here on KTOO News, Juneau. AR features such speakers as Noam Chomsky, Arundhati Roy, Chris Hedges, Barbara Ehrenreich, and David Suzuki, offering progressive perspectives that are frequently ignored or distorted in other media. Ralph Nader calls Alternative Radio Audio Energy for Democracy. Join us Thursday nights at 8, right here on KTOO.
Support for this program comes from listeners like you and GCI, offering TurboZone in restaurants, coffee shops, sports arenas, and other locations. More information at GCI.
It is 48 minutes after the hour and a few seconds. I'm Ben Brown. Today's Tuesday, the 2nd of January. Happy New Year. This is a Juneau Afternoon. And with us now, our final guests for this first show of the new year are Abel Ryan and Alyssa Borges from the Juneau Douglas City Museum. Welcome to a Juneau Afternoon.
Thank you.
And what's going on up at our favorite little museum near the Capitol?
Well, for First Friday, we have an exciting opening with Abel Ryan, who I'll let him speak in a moment about his work. I really encourage people to come to this show. I've been watching it go up today, and it's just really exciting, very unique and contemporary works. So I'm going to let Abel talk about it, and then I'll give some details about time and such.
Excellent. Abel.
So the show is called Seeing Faces, and this is a collection of works, most of which has been produced in the last year. Some of it is older pieces, but the majority of the show is carved masks, and there's a few other pieces in there as well that have some relation to the other pieces that are all going to be hanging in there.
How long have you been working on the show?
I was asked by the museum back at the end of January, last year now, to come in and do a show there. They had a last-minute cancellation. They were all excited and asked me to come in and said, "You've got a year." And I'm like, "No, it's 11 months, and I've got to think about what I'm going to do first." So they left me with very little time to actually produce. But I pulled it off.
You got
somehow.
It done. The show's opening, so you must have met with success.
Yes.
Well, very good. And so it's going to be opening on First Friday this week.
That's right. And it runs through February, to the end of February, so plenty of time to come in to see it. Also, I just want to let you know that our opening on Friday begins at 4:30 and runs till 7. If you can't make it for any reason, Abel will be presenting at our ongoing coffee and collections program the following Saturday. I think that's the 13th, if I got that right, which is just a great way to spend your Saturday morning if you haven't been to one before. We have coffee graciously provided by Heritage Coffee Company, and it's just a really lovely setting to learn more about the art directly from the artist and, you know, getting a little more up close and personal. So definitely come down to the museum for that.
All right, so first Friday the show opens. A week from Saturday there's going to be a presentation with coffee.
Yes.
And anything else you want to share with us about what's going on at the City Museum?
Sure. So we do have a couple other exhibits being installed as I speak, which you can see also on First Friday. And one is called Discover Tech, Construction of the Douglas Bridges. A lot of historical information and photos and video, digital pictures, so you can learn about that. It's pretty interesting. It was from 1935 and 1980, both those Douglas Bridges. And then also along with that is the construction of the U.S. federal and territorial buildings, which is now the Alaska Capitol, so we have another gallery full of information on that. Super interesting stuff.
And that's kind of timely because, obviously, the Capitol has just undergone a multi-year renovation restoration.
Right.
It's not quite done, but it's getting pretty close to done. I was talking to Pam Varney the other day, and they're still waiting to put the shrubs out. I'm sure you guys notice it all the time, you know, because it's just gravel out in front.
Right.
But it's really, that building has really come back together in a beautiful way.
Yeah.
So to learn how it used to be.
Sure. Give that kind of background information there. There are also some other exhibits that are being redone now, which will be completed a couple weeks from now. So we'll have a whole new Tlingit canoe exhibit. So lots is happening there. And I know, too, that a lot of people have kids and they're on their vacation right now. And if you're looking for something to do, by all means, come in. We're open from 10 to 4, and it's free. This is Tuesday through Friday, free admission thanks to our generous donors. And we have a hands-on museum interactive in our mining room, and it's a fun way to spend some time.
Excellent. And so there is a web presence, of course, at the city's website.
That's
if you
right.
could direct listeners to that would be great.
Right, and that is currently being upgraded, so it'll look nice and fancy when you get there. But that is www.juno.org/library/museum. So we're under the public libraries.
Excellent. Well, it sounds like things are getting off to a great start in 2018 at the Juno Douglas City Museum.
That's right, for sure.
So, Abel, your show opens this Friday?
Yes, it does. I'm very excited to see it, everything put together. There's one piece that's going to be installed tomorrow. I'm excited to see how it looks because I've built it in small little pieces, and it'd be nice to see it finally stretched out.
Excellent. Well, I'm excited to come see it, too. So thank you both very much, Alyssa Borges and Abel Ryan. Thanks for being on a Juno Afternoon, and best wishes for a very happy new year.
Thanks for having
you.
And it's about 5 minutes before the hour. I'm Ben Brown. You've been listening to a Juno Afternoon this Tuesday, the 2nd of January, 2018. Tomorrow, on a Juno Afternoon, Shelley Delaney will be hosting, and she will have some folks on to talk about the Herlock property sale. That is a sale of property by the city at 9290 Herlock Avenue. Jeffrey Smith from the Learning Connection will be here to talk about New Year's resolutions. Jim Adams will be here on Wildlife Wednesday to talk about protecting bears. And there will be an update on activities up at Eagle Crest. And it has snowed a little bit there over the past few days. The weather forecast that we are currently looking at is for a high of about 42 degrees and a low of about 40 tonight. So pretty cold, not too cold and very moist. 100% chance of precipitation and southeast winds about 15 miles per hour. Tomorrow, Wednesday, we're looking at a high near 40 and 100% chance of precipitation, and that continues into Thursday when it's a 50% chance of snow, cloudy with a low around 31, so getting a little cold again. And then on into the weekend, more chances of snow, which is great if you're a skier, and it's just good for there to be snow because that's what happens in winter in Alaska. So thanks again for listening to a Juno Afternoon.